This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And I expect our crowd to be more into it, too. Like, I know it's not the playoffs, but it is our last go-around at Oracle. At least you can stand up if someone make a good play, especially McKinney. We need that energy, especially this time of year. It's hard to conjure up energy every single night because you're looking forward to the playoffs and that run. So we expect our fans to kind of, you know, bring that from the jump. You can't, I mean, it's like us, though. You can't bring it every night, but still, it helps when it doesn't matter if we're playing the Suns or the Bucks, whoever it is, we need that energy from them because we feed off that.
So that was Klay Thompson post-game, and he basically admitted to what we've been saying all along, which is that they just think they can flip the switch because he said basically, you know, as Barry said, you can't bring it every night, and it's a long season, and, you know, I mean, it's like us, but he threw that in there, and it's like, oh, so you think, too, that you can just kind of coast at times, but when the time's right, you flip, because he basically insinuated, too, you know, you just wait for the playoffs, and then you're...
But he's like, oh, you know, I get it. They can't get up for every game every night just like we can't. What?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
What? Dude, if you don't like your job, don't do it. There's a difference in making, you know, tens of dollars like we do in radio and millions of dollars as a basketball player.
Well, that's my
trust
that's
me.
My
if
point.
I made Klay Thompson's money, I would be up every day for my job. I would be, I don't know how you'd not. You're living the dream.
One thing you give LeBron credit for,
what are
right?
You doing?
Is he makes all this money with endorsements and with the team, but that's why he has a full-time 24-hour-a-day dietitian. Mm-hmm. A guy that does all of his stretching and all of his massage therapy, mm-hmm, and all these different things because literally his body is his temple. It's his job, and he takes care of it. But, you know, you hear that quote. It's like, that's what I'm saying. You just basically admitted to the world that if it's hard to get up for all these things, I understand the team gets complacent after you win, what, two championships out of in a row and, what,
three out of four. Yeah.
But the fans? Because there's got to be people all over the Bay Area clamoring to go to a Warriors game. But when the fans do, and we've seen it here, but it's different here, and I get it.
Sure.
And I hear all the, I don't want to get into all that. But the basic fact on the quote, on top of everything else that I took away from is, you basically admitted your team just doesn't care about the regular season. You just think when it's time to go, you flip the switch and you go.
And that's the thing. I get that if you're a defense and low post team. But shooting is a, you don't just turn on shooting. Like, you have to keep shooting. You have to be into the game. It's one of those things that it can come and go. Ask guys like Eric Gordon. Ask guys like PJ Tucker. It's not something where you're like, well, once the playoffs start, I'll start shooting it better. No, you better get that out of the way now. You better figure it out now.
But, I mean, they don't have – here's the thing there. They don't have
it's all about getting good
nights,
looks, too.
But both Splash Brothers, I think they were like 4-for-19 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And my takeaway from that is always the rule of basketball. If they're not going in from three, get you some easy ones.
Hole.
Pass the three, take the two, get the layup, and then maybe you get into a rhythm, you see one go down, you start feeling better about yourself. But they just time and time and time again kept forcing the three up there.
Well, I was looking back because I was interested to see when they lost to the Celtics, they shot 22% from the floor, from three-point range. So
that's bad, yeah.
Huh?
That's bad.
Yeah, and I don't – again, I'm looking at the Magic game. 22% from three-point range. You better start – and they lost that game, 103-96. It's something where you better start finding your shot, so you better take this regular season game serious because once you hit the playoffs, if you're still in a slump, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
If you're losing to teams like the Magic and the Suns,
right?
If you're losing to teams like the Magic and the Suns shooting 22%, I promise you, you're going to lose to teams that are making the playoffs shooting 22%. I promise you.
I'm going to put some of this on Kerr, too. Okay, because the one thing is, as badly as the Warriors shot, as you mentioned, the other thing was Phoenix is about as predictable a team as they come in the league because all they were doing was giving the ball to Booker and getting out of the way. And it took Golden State until the final 3.5 minutes of the game to try and double him and get it out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like with the defensive players you have Klay Thompson, you have, you know, longer guys with range, you have Draymond Green, you have guys like Durant that have a long wingspan until he got hurt. You just needed to be smarter about that and go, okay, look, We're getting beat by a one-man band. Let's make DeAndre Ayton beat us. Let's make, you know, some of these young kids beat us. But let's not let Devin Booker beat us all by himself. And yet they made that switch too late defensively.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it cost them, too.
That's true. I was looking back, too, because I wanted to see how Curry has been shooting. So he's shooting 34% from three-point range for the month of March. Shot 37% in February, and that's good. But January, 46%. December, 42%. When he shot 31% in November, they had a four-game losing streak and had lost 7 out of 9. So this is one of those things where if he's struggling going into the playoffs, they better be really nervous. Nervous because I think that they're vulnerable and they could lose. But if their shot's not falling, look out.
I'm interested to see going back and see, aside from the year when they had all the injuries last year and they knew they were playing from behind, they weren't going to catch the Rockets for the best record. I'd be interested in the last month and a half of the season over the past 4 or 5 years, see how many times they just kind of start taking their foot off the gas.
Be interesting. And look, let's be real. I'm probably going to end up being wrong about this. I really am. This is a team that is just their starting five is rivaled by no one in this league. I still think their bench is suspect at best, no pun intended. They got outscored by the Suns barely, but they still got outscored by a Suns team with their bench. So I'm not sold on their bench, and I think that might be their Achilles more than their starting five, obviously. But also it's going to be interesting to see now what happens with Kerr and Draymond Green. Going forward about Cousins and Durant and his health, is that ankle going to be a bother for him in the playoffs now? How long is he going to, you know, how many games is he going to miss? A lot of questions about a team that's just a shoe-in to win it all again.
This is why I bring up Kerr, because we're talking about the Draymond Green situation, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the defensive switch they didn't make that they should have made earlier, too. Yeah. And now I'm talking about the fact that watching your show last night and Jerome Solomon is going one-on-one with A.J. Hinch, and he talks about one of the most difficult things for a manager to do is to have those tough conversations with a player and be totally transparent and totally honest. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Because if you're Steve Kerr and you really want to be the captain of this ship and you want to keep it afloat, you're going to call Draymond in your office and go, look, man, it was one of those moments. I said it. I said it because at the time this happened or that happened, and I want to clear the air and I put it on the table. But if he in any way tries to
oh, I didn't
of a
say
better
that.
Term, like pussyfoot around it and tiptoe around it and say, no, that's not really what I said, and I'm not sure. It's clear as day, and that could cause more strife in the locker room than anything.
Yeah, it's a really good point because you want all of these stars and you knew Draymond was an issue. But Draymond was an issue but didn't have an effect on the team because of the personalities that were around him in the starting lineup and when he was on the floor.
Stabilizing forces around him.
But now you've got an emotional Kevin Durant. You've got an unstable Boogie Cousins. You've got Steph Curry that at times to me seems like he's checked out. Klay Thompson is obviously checked out. He admitted as much. I mean, he literally came out of the... There's a lot more going on here than just Draymond.
And the one thing that really I was thinking about last night watching it all unfold is it was one thing because you could make up for the Draymond Green experience. Mm-hmm. Like even Nick said, and it cost him that year when they ended up blowing that series because he was suspended. But overall, in the regular season and otherwise, you can make up for Draymond because you have so many stabilizing forces and calm-natured personalities around him. But now you add a Boogie to the mix.
Yep.
And now you start counting technicals and going, guys are facing suspensions. Those things don't go away in the playoffs. They carry over, and then the leash is shorter before you get suspended.
And everything is ratcheted up, emotions and everything else. Yeah, it's a good point.
So as much as they thought, hey, we're getting lightning in a bottle, we're getting a all-star center for cheap, he's adding to the mix, and it's going to take us right to an easy ride to another. Now, Steve Kerr, you got a coach.
You know what's funny is we talk about that, and then I look at this Rockets team, and I think they are literally on the opposite end of everything we just said. They got rid of their problems in Carmelo Anthony and some other guys. This team has chemistry. When James got bounced, Chris Paul told the team for five fouls, that first foul and 20 seconds into the second half. Because basically they played the second half without him. That's my bad. They played the second half without him for the most part. And so you look at that score and think, well, it's probably different if he's in there and in his normal rotation. That's probably not as close. I think we all could agree on that. But Chris Paul stepped up. Eric Gordon stepped up. This is a team that is helping each other. They're playing their roles, and the chemistry is just outstanding compared to the Warriors and to what it was in November and December.
And if you want to take it a step further, don't just give those guys credit. Give your best player the credit that we talked about.
That's
because we said it's got to happen. I gotta stop shouldering the entire load. I got to get these guys involved. If we're going to be successful as a team, now that these guys are back, they have to be an integral part of it. I can't just be doing it by myself and then hope that at the right times when I screw up, they step up. Golden State's having problems because they put Boogie in the mix. Yeah. And there's already not enough ball to go around, and now they're struggling offensively.
And how big of a difference does this team look defensively, offensively, in the paint with Capella back? I think that we have probably grossly underestimated what he meant to this team. When he went out, I said it was a big deal, but I was happy when they got freed because that high pick and roll, they really relied on it. And you saw their offense change significantly, not being able to run it from the time that Capella was out before they got freed. The offense was one-dimensional. It was James at the top of the key, and that was it. Getting both of those guys back and having Capella in the mix has really changed the way that this team looks.
I mean, you're not going to have trouble getting me to rave about Clint Capella.
You love you some Clint Capella.
And I was actually looking up some stats about how his numbers are in terms of rebounds compared to some of the other players. He is the heart of the team when it comes down to hitting boards. I mean, that was such a huge problem with his absence. Kenneth Faried did come in and kind of supplement what they lacked in terms of boards, but again, it was just one player. Now you've got Clint Capella and Kenneth Faried that can hit the boards, and I think that's a huge, huge plus, because when you were looking at the numbers, it was basically Clint Capella, and then the very next person was PJ Tucker. And I know we love to treat him as a center, but in reality, he's a small forward. Yeah.
But
we're asking him to
play
to five. So
you talk about the heart and soul of like the boards and the defense, but the heart and soul of this whole team. Now you understand more as a Rockets fan why they didn't want to trade PJ Tucker to Minnesota in that Jimmy Butler deal. When you watch him guard Doncic on one possession, then go big on the next possession, then get out on the perimeter and then knock down threes and do what he does in transition, you're like, this dude is everything for this team on both. He's the glue guy, the Swiss Army knife, but he also brings that toughness too. That
draws
says
charges.
Screw with me one time and see what I'll do to you.
Passionate. Because this is a team full of low key guys. I mean, James Harden doesn't get. He's not a passionate. Chris Paul to a certain degree.
He can be,
but he tries to hide it. Yeah, but he tries to hide it. But PJ is just outright passionate. He wears his emotions on his sleeve, but I think that he gets those guys fired up, and he's got a very important role as well. One more point I want to make about the Warriors and the Rockets to this point in the season, and you can say that, well, the Warriors regular season, this and that. Against teams above 500, the Warriors are 20-16, which is 55%, a 555 winning percentage. Rockets are 22-14, which is a 611 winning percentage. The problem with the Warriors right now is they're struggling against good teams. They're 25-5 against teams below 500. That's great. But when it comes to playing good teams that have a winning record, they're not doing that great. They're struggling a little bit.
I'll wait and pass.
0-4 in overtime, by the way.
I'll wait and pass my judgment on what's their record against winning teams in the
when
playoffs.
They play the Rockets?
In the playoffs. Oh, yeah. And then I'll see where they sit at the end of the year.
Like I said, I'm still probably going to be wrong.
At least we're having a discussion, because I'll stick to what I said, which is, of all the teams in the Western Conference, the one team that I say is the best chance to beat the Warriors is still the Rockets. I said it. I told you I wavered a ton when they were suffering, but not Oklahoma City, not the other teams that are being thrown up there. This team, especially where they're playing right now, you got to feel.
I was going to say, I think I've heard a couple people now say that they think that the Rockets are a legitimate threat to the Warriors just because of the chemistry, because of the way that they're playing.
And look at the run you just went on. You're not beating cupcakes. You're beating the Celtics, the Raptors, the Sixers, and the Warriors.
Yeah.
That's a pretty staunch four-game run. So give the Rockets the props, no doubt about it. We can continue to talk about some basketball or some other things. And we can be reached, as you guys well know, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here's a question that Nick has never been asked. Has your child ever dreamed of playing football with Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson? Well, if you're a parent out there and your kid would love to play quarterback with Deshaun Watson, here's an opportunity for you. Kids in grades 1st through 8th can attend the Academy Sports and Outdoors Deshaun Watson Pro Camp on May the 11th at Episcopal High School in Bel Air. You can go to ESPN975.com to register to win a spot for one lucky kid to join Deshaun and his Houston area coaches for small group instruction on football fundamentals and, of course, fun. Should be a Friday, like F yeah, for
that's
all
those right.
Funds and fundamentals and football. So ESPN975.com to register for the Deshaun Watson Camp brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Should be a good time for all kids who can participate. There you have it.
We need to circle back a little bit to some of these texts after Brad's call.
Okay.
He seems to have the text line and the Twitter's going nuts a little bit. Similar to what happened with Hunter last week when people were disparaging Hunter for his horrible call. So I'll just start with this one. I'm a single and childless 41-year-old junior college dropout dispatcher, and Brad makes me feel successful.
Wow. We went to great lengths to point that out.
Great. Now the usual suspects have their own Gilbert.
We've had several.
Worst caller, Hunter or Brad? That was just a question on the text line. Worst caller, Brad or Hunter from last week? Also a question on the text line. Someone said Brad pees when he sits down when he pees. Excuse me, I got it backwards. That was one call or one text. Brad sits down when he pees. The Brad segment was the best. That guy was a dumbass. Okay, Hunter is officially off the leash. Brad sits down when he pees and wipes for no reason.
Nick, that's a poll you wouldn't win. You should just put that poll up there, wouldn't. Hunter or Brad, and just let the people have their way.
I like this one. This is my favorite of all the texts that came in about Brad, because I've deleted a bunch of them. There were a lot. Like, literally blew it up in one segment. Maybe Hunter and Brad are part of a weird OU Mike hate group. That could very well be the case. So Brad is definitely a mall shooter, right? Or on
see,
a watch list.
See, there was a lot of those.
Brad was the show's worst caller ever. Some people just need to get punched in the mouth. That's not nice. That was from James in Utah. Brad is Hunter's brother.
He's a jazz fan. He doesn't like the guy from Portland.
Brad is Hunter's brother, and he's out for vengeance. He failed. That was from JJ.
You think that people are out there on the podcast going, Barry gave his phone number out. We're going after Brad. Somebody, our suspects could be ruthless.
Yeah. Why are people hating on Barry? I saw him at the Beaumont at Sugar's. He was funny. Plus, he's brilliant when it comes to lawn care. Yeah, so there you go. All right.
Nick,
Joel,
that wasn't funny.
Who would Joel like to see the Packers realistically sign in free agency? Do you have a preference? Do you have a choice?
Yeah, the list is long.
Well, who's top of your list?
I've said all along I would love to see Le'Veon Bell. I said Landon Collins as a safety because they need safety. They have no safeties. None. Zero. They need a safety. They let Clinton Dix go. They need somebody. Landon Collins, to me, would be ideal, but I know that he's going to have somebody. Is he already gone?
Just signed with the Redskins, it looks like. That's the rumor.
There's still plenty of safeties out there, but somebody, they need safety help. So I don't want to bore y'all, but they have plenty of needs on defense.
Do they? Well, you're not going to get Justin Coleman either because the Lions broke the bank for him.
Super.
4-year, $36 million deal.
What are they calling it? Legalized tampering?
Legal tampering.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I mean, literally, they should just open it up to free agency today because the agreements are coming out. Sure, ink hasn't dried on the paper, and it won't be signed till Wednesday. But as long as the deals are done, just let them happen.
Legal tampering starts on the 12th, right?
It starts
the
right now. Started at noon today.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport, sources, former Giants star Landon Collins is signing a 6-year deal for a whopping $84 million with the Redskins.
That's Dan Snyder overpaying again. But
hard to imagine a box safety with this kind of deal after last year's slow safety market. This moves the market dramatically.
Think about that.
There's still some good safeties out there.
Think about that. Think about who that hurts. That hurts the Houston Texans.
Because Tyrann Matthews.
Tyrann Matthews. Yes,
cost a grip. Earl Thomas is going to cost a grip.
Yeah, the prices just went up, and that's not a good thing if you're Brian Gaines.
6 years, $84 million.
Well, how much guaranteed?
Doesn't say it, but I bet I can find it on Spot Track for you.
Because Dan Snyder's probably going to add a couple of years of guarantees that no one else would.
Man.
That's a lot of cake.
$45 million guaranteed.
Landon Collins, you are set.
Average salary of $14 million a year. Deal goes through 2024.
Wow.
So he'll be 31 when the deal's up.
And be about time to go. Haha, who was who they traded with that they got from Green Bay. So now he's not going back to Washington. So yeah. He's out there for sure. He's not going back.
Man, dude, Landon, you know how much Landon Collins made last year?
He has on his rookie deal.
Yeah, $1.3 million. And he jumps to $14 million a year.
Good for you, Landon.
Yeah, dude, he got paid.
I'm a big fan of his game, man. I thought he'd be a perfect fit for a lot of teams. I had heard Kansas City because he was going to reunite with all of his old coaches.
You remember I gave you the numbers from last year and the ratings, and Tyrann Mathieu was rated ahead of Landon Collins. Yeah. And I realized that over the three-year period, Landon Collins probably rates ahead of Tyrann Mathieu.
Right.
But SpotTrack will give you market value for guys. And they're usually really close. They had his market value at $8.6 million a year. You think the Redskins overpaid a little?
A little.
Even if this is, even if they're off and they paid 10, you'd be like, well, it was close. They were above market value by $2 million a year, which is still a lot of money. But to be that far off of a SpotTrack market value.
And, like I said, from a Texans perspective, you had a one-year $7 million deal with the Honey Badger. You take into a consideration, he's come out and said, now I want long-term, and I want to be paid what I deserve. And guess what you deserve now? Based on Landon Collins' money and your SpotTrack stats, and don't think his agent hasn't already laid all those things out, now you're talking about 10-plus a year for the Honey Badger. You're not going to get a deal.
You want me to tell you what SpotTrack says Earl Thomas's value is?
13.
10.
Wow.
Could you imagine if Landon Collins
is coming off injury.
If Landon Collins' SpotTrack value was at 8 and he got 14.4. Imagine what Earl Thomas at 10.5 is going to get.
That's what I'm saying. Above Earl Thomas is going to get at least 13.
That's like Ian Rappaport said. You just broke the. You just busted the safety market. It's about to
get
crazy.
Close to that. Texans are either going to overpay to get him back and or someone else, or they're going to be a lot weaker in the back end of the secondary to help Mr. Reed.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting to see because you're right. That whole market for safeties just got blown out of the water.
I'll look up his Tyrann Mathieu's SpotTrack value.
Now, will that be how quickly do they update that to say that because of what was just signed, would that change his market value? On SpotTrack?
It might.
Okay.
It might. Yeah, I'll look it up. I'll check it out, and then I'll check Tyrann Mathieu's as well. But right now, what I want you to check out is Vortex, because we've talked about it. This is the weigh out week for our usual suspects weight loss challenge. We're going to have more info on where you can weigh out and how all that goes down. But you've got a week left. You've got until Friday, 5 p.m. That's the whole week. So get out to Vortex right now, 1707 West Gray, and get your workout on. They've got two types of workouts for you, boxing and cycling and the spin classes. And, man, both of them are a great full-body workout. 45 minutes, you're in, you're out. They've got morning classes. They've got afternoon and evening classes that you can take. You can get your workout in. It doesn't consume a lot of your time. You're not sitting there, you know, waiting on some nasty dude that's all sweaty, not wiping the bench down to lift weights and taking selfies of himself. You get there, you put your stuff in one of their great lockers or in the locker room that they have. You go right into your class, you start working out. Like, they've got gloves for you if you're doing the boxing class. They've got the shoes for you if you're doing the spin class. You don't need to take any equipment. Just wear some gym clothes. You're ready to go. The workouts are great. It's a multi-sensory workout. There's, like, lights. There's the music. You've got an athlete like Trey teaching you boxing and getting you pumped up and getting you to give it your all. Like, he won't let you quit. I promise you that. None of those athletes at Vortex will. It's a great workout. I want you to go try it. 1707 West Gray, 281-501-3094 is the number. 281-501-3094 or online at vortextexas.com. That's vortextexas.com. And I promise you some Tyrann Mathieu numbers. Don't go anywhere. We're back in 2 minutes right after this.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I wanted to let you guys know, as we mentioned, the weight loss challenge is coming to a close this week. So we want to remind you, if you are a participant and you registered and you weighed in, You have to weigh out. If you weigh out, it's the only way you're going to be eligible for the prizes. And we already told you that Houstonian staycation is off the chain, and you want to be eligible for it. So you got to weigh out, and then we can weigh who did the most and the least, mm-hmm. and who's going to win mm-hmm. the prizes. Mm-hmm. So we want to remind you, all the Mann Center locations are going to be available for you to weigh out, as well as here at our home, Gal Media Studios in the Galleria area. So make sure you weigh out this week so that we can calculate and you can be eligible for the prizes. There you go.
Do it. I promise you some Tyrann Mathieu numbers according to SpotTrack, what his market value would be.
Yes.
Right now, and I'm going to assume that this doesn't take into account the just-released Landon Collins deal, right. because I doubt very seriously they're on it yet. But they had Landon Collins at, what did I tell you, 8.6?
Something like that, yeah.
So they had him at 8.6 and then he, yeah, 8.6. And so they said he probably would get a 5-year, $43 million deal. They have Tyrann Mathieu at 8.7.
He's going way upwards of 10 now.
That means, yeah, he's going to get paid a grip. It's probably more than he should have gotten, just on, you know, legitimate market value, but the Redskins have now just crapped all over the market and messed it up. And I really think that because you've got guys like Tyrann Mathieu that can show you statistically, I was just as good as Landon Collins was last year. Why am I not getting Landon Collins money? I want $14 million a year.
I alluded
Who's
to this
paying Tyrann Mathieu that?
Before the break. This is a Dan Snyder move.
Yeah.
This is a typical Dan Snyder overpay and give him more years than he deserves. Look at his track record. Look at all the way back to Deion Sanders at the end of, when he brought Deion in at the end of his career and he overpaid. I mean, you look at Josh Norman, the corner, when he was the hottest corner out there going. Everybody said he was the best lockdown corner. Well, he overpaid. You know, you can go all and up and down the list since Dan Snyder bought the team, and he's going to overpay. But he doesn't realize it's just not a bad move for the Redskins. It's a bad move for the rest of the league because now there are teams scrambling going, well, on our board, when we were charting whether it was going to be safe for the Texans, for example, we were charting this is the ballpark range of what we're going to have to pay to get the Honey Badger back. And then we're going to also do this, allocate for draft picks here, also look at spending this much in free agency. Well, that has just completely been thrown out the window because if you want your guy back or a guy in that same ballpark, you're going to pay probably $5 million more a year than in the $3 to $5 million more a year range than you were supposed to.
Also, don't forget, LaMarcus Joyner's out there.
Yep, from the Rams, right?
Yeah, and he's probably going to get paid now, too. Because if Earl Thomas is going to get more than Landon Collins, right?
I don't think so, because of age.
Because really?
Because of age, size, and injury history, because Earl Thomas is coming off an injury. Earl Thomas a little longer in the tooth. So I think Landon Collins is the ceiling. I think Earl Thomas will come in that range, unless he gives the Cowboys a hometown discount, so to speak.
So you think that'll be the... Because, I mean, Tyrann Mathieu is 26. Landon Collins is 25.
I think that...
So Collins you think Tyrann Mathieu and Landon Collins are going to make more than Earl Thomas?
I do.
Wow.
Well, and I'll say this. The thing about Collins
might be a shorter-term deal.
Yeah.
With
that's where I was going. And the other thing is, when you talk about at the line of scrimmage, the bigger-bodied safeties have a little bit more value to some teams that
sure,
like
stopping
that,
the run.
Yeah, with the obviously absolutely right. So that's why I think Collins and Earl Thomas, we all know, can hit better than anybody.
Uh-huh.
But he's also taken enough that injury history is going to play a part. I don't think that the Honey Badger is going to get all that value maximized because he's smaller. He's a little smaller in size. He struggles a little bit in coverage. So I don't think he's going to make what Collins makes.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Those are the three big names, I think, left in the safety market for sure.
Yeah, and there's still, like I said.
If you want to throw in Kareem Jackson, but I think he's a hybrid corner safety. I mean, teams might look at him to still help him at the corner position because even though he was excelling at safety, he had to move back to corner because of injury, and he still played well, and he still excelled. So he might be one of those guys that, you know, if I'm Kareem Jackson, depending on what the cornerback market shapes up to be, you're in a good position because you can say, I'm a safety now. I want to go over there where the safety money is now that Dan Snyder's reset the market.
This is the opposite of Jadeveon Clowney, where you want to be labeled as a D lineman and an edge rusher because the value in terms of when using the franchise tag and otherwise is so much higher than it would be if you were an edge rusher as a linebacker.
Yeah.
This is the flip side. If you're Kareem, you're versatile, and you can play both positions, you can make some coin.
Yeah.
So that's another bad sign for the Texans.
Yes, indeed.
So we'll be it will be interesting to see, because as much as everybody was hoping that they'd be overzealous in free agency, what I've heard is behind the scenes and quietly is that they might not do any big splashes in free agency at all.
Really?
Yeah. They better have a hell of a draft then.
Yeah. They need help. Yeah.
Because take it from me, man, having been a Packer fan forever and having Ted Thompson as your general manager, when you don't dabble in free agency and you see all these top talents and big names going other places, there's only so much you can do in the draft before you realize there's a value on experience, proving it on the highest level, doing it over time in the NFL. And you can draft till your heart's content, but you just can't replace when you have a hole or a position of need and you think that a kid coming out of college is going to do as good as someone that's been there, done that.
Trent Brown looks like he's going to sign with the Raiders as well. A four-year, $66 million contract, huh?
Yeah, I had said that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I said, so it's like, what can Brown do for you?
What I'm saying is, the Texans already, you see that they're, I feel like that they're going to do something very Rockets-like. Go out and try to sign one name to make a big splash to make you forget that we didn't fill all these holes with solid role players. Oh, look, we went out and got Le'Veon Bell. Oh, look, we went out and got something like that. Look, we went out and got a compliment to Hopkins because maybe we don't trust Fuller. I'm worried that they're going to make a splash, but in the wrong area, as opposed to just getting a Trent Brown or somebody that can shore up your line. Or it even, you know, I talked a little bit about that deal that the Browns made, or that the Raiders made with the Jets for Osamili. I wonder if the Texans were even in on that. Wouldn't that be great to have a legitimate guard in the middle of that defense or in the middle of that offensive line?
And if not there, Pittsburgh, when they were doing all this reshuffling, they sent one of their tackles to the Cardinals.
Yep.
So wouldn't you like to be in that conversation as well? Because you got to believe that if those guys started for those teams or that team, they're definitely better than anything you got on your roster.
Yeah, I would take a banged up Osamili. I hope I'm saying that right.
It doesn't matter. He's not going to call and his mom's not listening. So.
But I would take a guy like that that's 2 years removed from being at the top of his game just because of a little injury, as opposed to the guys that they have now. Because they just you have a better chance with a guy like that, even though he didn't look 100% after the injury last year.
Yeah, there's no doubt
still
about it.
Still take that chance.
It's funny when we talk about people listening, too. We'll get to this at some point. But evidently, Nick, your Cougs with a huge win yesterday to win the conference. But Nick Lachey, of all people, decided to call out Kelvin Sampson. And
what?
And someone's mommy didn't take too kindly to it and decided to go back at him. So
what happened?
I guess we got enough time.
We got time. Yeah, Tell me.
So yesterday, after the big victory, everybody was obviously basking in everything that was going on with the Cougs and Kelvin Sampson. And Nick Lachey, of what is it, boy band fame, he decides to say, boy, that Kelvin Sampson, he's dirty, but he can coach. Something to that degree.
What?
Right? Yeah, so he said, yeah, that Kelvin Sampson, he is dirty, but he can coach. And I'll find you the tweet. And one of the players' moms chimed in and said, don't get me started, because if you want to get dirty and you got dirt and you want to talk about it, we can do this.
Ooh.
And it was pretty interesting to see how it all went down. I had it up, and now my computer locked up. Oh, he goes, man, Kelvin Sampson is as dirty as they come, but he is one hell of a coach. And then I want to say, I'm trying to remember which player it was whose mom got involved and said, if you want to talk about dirty and you want to make this, you let me know, because if you want to go that route, I can do that.
Really?
Yeah. But why, Nick Lachey, you've already been an afterthought.
Why are you trying to get some run now, dude?
Stop. Seriously, when is the last time you were relevant?
That's crazy. Nice try, though.
And shout out.
I mean, look,
Coach
he did Nick. Have his history, but.
And shout out to us and our listeners, because they threw a question at us that was very prevalent last night in the fact that would Kelvin Sampson go to the University of Texas because Shaka is not doing well.
Right.
And Calvin's having all this success. And Randy McAvoy had a one-on-one on Sports Sunday in which Kelvin said, I value my family, my son, my daughter, the family being involved in the program, and the fact that U of H.
Yeah.
Although the one thing I will say.
Says I'm happy. That's the most important thing.
But of course, Kelvin's speech too, the one thing he did say was, I looked at all the programs coming after me, and I looked at the program that needed me the most.
Oh.
And it was the Cougs.
Here's an interesting string of text. You ready?
Yeah.
And I'll get this before we have to go to break. Matthew already signed. Matthew got 9.5 mil a year long term here in H-Town. Tyron got paid already, y'all. God bleep it. Pay attention, y'all. I love y'all, but pay attention. I'm a dumbass. He hasn't signed yet. My bad. Like, what? This is just a glimpse into the text
lecture
line
first. We can, and then fact check later. That's what I've learned.
Oh my goodness.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. And again, remember, Way Out, if you're in the Weight Loss Challenge this week, Man Centers or here at the Gal Media offices, we'll continue to get to some stuff. But if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number two, three-hour show, right here at ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday. Fun day, having some fun here. I'm trying to get all the details. My computer had locked up and I had saved this, but people, I guess we forget. Nick Lachey is evidently a big University of Cincinnati fan from back in the day when he and Jessica Simpson had that little MTV show.
Uh-huh. So, I remember that. I used to watch that show because Jessica Simpson was hot.
Coming to defend their coach, their university, and just the fact that it's their team. Basically responding with things like, remember when Cincy used to dominate Houston? You know, now sadly it's Houston doing it to you. He basically started to double down. He's picking on people for how many Twitter followers they have. He's looking
who,
at
Nick Lachey.
Yep.
He's See, that's why I don't do that anymore. I used to make fun of people with like five followers, but I'm like, man, maybe they're not active. Who knows? I feel like that's cheating, especially if you're Nick Lachey.
Right?
That's cheating.
So, and then it's a back and forth with everybody nitpicking. And his response to some of the Houstonians are, I'd unload on you, but you live in Houston? That is punishment enough.
Oh, see, that guy almost cursed. Just, screw that guy.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
You were in a boy band, you weirdo.
And you married Jessica Simpson.
Well, that's not bad.
And she thought, well, but unless you do have to talk to her at some point.
Well, that's true, too.
The whole chicken to the sea thing was the one that...
Buffalo's wings made out of buffalo meat.
She just, yeah.
But she's still hot. Or well, okay. Was. She's. They're not married anymore, are they?
Oh, so you're into she big remarried too, to an huh? ex-Niners tight end, and she just blew
she
up.
Is not skinny.
But that's because she was pregnant.
She was pregnant, Nick, but she overpregnated. Yeah. I mean, she got pretty big.
Look up some current images
that's
of
what I'm
Jessica.
She's
babies
pregnant.
Will do. I don't know if you know how babies work.
No, she's not pregnant anymore, and she's still fat.
That's baby weight because she just had the baby. If she's not pregnant anymore,
I'm just telling you.
Because I saw a picture of her foot. Did you
You're
see
in
that?
Hollywood.
Yes, it was awful.
Oh God, it looked like somebody blew up a rubber glove.
It was really, really bad.
It was so like big from the like swelling from being pregnant that her poor little toes looked like they were going to explode.
Yeah,
it was awful.
Is definitely she, not good.
Did she have the baby yet?
I don't know. Lisa would know because she watches Entertainment Tonight and all that. I don't know, but I know
she
was like
bigger.
On bed rest.
But this is her third kid. You have three kids, Nick, and see
Listen,
if you don't get fatter.
If you want to give her excuses, that's fine. There's a bunch of women in Hollywood that have three kids. Just saying.
That's true. She has a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old. She said baby number 3 is it. But I tell you what, it may have put some weight on her, but it also made her she's bigger too.
Well, that has a tendency to happen, you know.
That normally, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
They got
oh, yeah.
Shishis, huh?
Yeah. I didn't know if I could say Well, I know I can't say it. So.
Right, you can't.
You're
say
like,
it.
No,
please don't say it.
Big
she's absolutely killing it. Fine, like her income on her, she has a line of like clothing and shoes and things.
Do people still buy her shoes?
I don't know, but I just know that they said that she's not like up there in the Jenner range of being a billionaire. But she's doing really well.
Yeah, that was
really
that your microphone was on, sir. Yeah,
she is big.
Did she have the kid?
I don't see where it says she had it yet. But, man.
If people are getting really feisty. They're actually threatening him. And he said, shoot someone? What's wrong with you? Only someone in Texas would immediately think of guns.
Well, yeah, Barry,
you thought about shooting your shot and taking
I don't
a
think
shot
of
at
guns.
Kelvin
what are you
Sampson?
Talking about?
You just threatened me with your gun in the last commercial break. What
I
are you
did
talking
not.
About?
I don't do that. That's
like I got
false...
my gun in my backpack.
Why are you out here spreading rumors and okay. false statements?
I wasn't in the studio 5 minutes ago, and you didn't just threaten me with a gun.
No, I don't
okay.
remember that.
I'm making that up. Okay.
I don't remember that. Okay. That didn't happen. I don't know.
No, we're doing the mumble talk.
I don't remember that.
And even Coach Sampson's daughter getting involved in
Uh-oh.
Responses.
Good.
And wow, with the emoji of shock. So, yeah, Nick Lachey's not going to be invited to any playoff games or other things. I mean, at tournament games for the
game. Well, he's a douche, so it doesn't matter.
At least he's relevant for one more day.
Somebody says she has not had the baby yet.
Yeah, Christina says that too, so.
Yeah, and somebody said you're fat shaming, which isn't nice, and that's true.
That was you who was fat shaming.
No,
wasn't me.
Just said that she was fat.
I said, no, you like big women too. That's what I said. That's not fat shaming.
Don't blame me. Blame the texters that are listening to the show, that heard your words.
It was a positive remark. I said, you like big women too.
No.
That's what I said.
No.
Go back and listen to the podcast.
Did the Bills really sign Kevin Johnson? Is that a
I
thing?
I saw that. I didn't. We haven't.
Can you look
that
up, Nicholas?
So.
Can you help us validate that? I haven't seen anything yet, but boy, if the Bills did sign Kevin Johnson, that's their bad. Somebody
yeah,
said that they
you.
Saw. He said he was going to retire.
No, because right after the Texans released him, the Bills scheduled a meeting with him.
Oh.
And he passed. He had to pass the physical, which showed he was capable of playing, in order for the Texans to release him without having any.
Too bad just physicals can't predict the future.
Nothing official, just rumors or expected to sign or stuff like that.
Okay. But nothing expected to sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
NFL.com's got it. So.
Okay. Well, there you go. Suck it, Bills. Good luck with that.
I mean, XO Holly tweeted out that they just signed him, so
well,
I don't know if that's
it. I don't know if I'm going to use her as a source.
Yeah.
You can. Her Eagles are doing well. They're active all over. Yeah, I guess that people are saying, too, the greatest thing that Nick Lachey ever did was he remarried and married Vanessa Manillo.
Yes,
she's,
I do remember that.
She's very pretty lady.
She's a good-looking woman.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yep. She, again, was on. She had her heyday on the MTV.
Yes, she did.
Well.
A lot of MTV era folks getting up in age, too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, good props to the Cougs, though. That was I thought it was going to be a tough game.
Did you watch that game?
I did.
Cincinnati?
I watched it.
I did, too.
I watched all
Are you
of
proud
it?
Of me? I watched
I am
another
proud of
college basketball game. Guys, that's two in 2019. Who's the man?
I tell you what, man. What that team's going to give a lot of teams in the tournament trouble because they can play defense.
I mean, would you
They're
say
versatile.
That Cincinnati team is better than UCF, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. Did you notice, though, how much better they looked against Cincinnati than they did UCF? And I said that I say that rhetorically because if U of H and when U of H faces teams that are bigger than them in
say,
the tourney,
it's a
I'm
big
worried.
Low post presence.
Because UCF was so much bigger than them that they just were more physical than them. And don't get me wrong, these guys were flying all over the court at U of H, the Cougars. They're athletic. They're just not physical, and they're not a big team.
Well, you're not going to find a tackle fall on every team, right?
Yeah,
but
you
find guys
still.
That are good and really skilled in the low post and can put a guy on their hip and take him down on the block. That's where U of H is going to have a problem.
Yeah, and it showed against UCF. And
yeah,
but because UCF, I mean, they were just big. Their whole backcourt was big.
But I'll tell you what, when they're making their shots and they can pick you up three quarters court and they're flying all over actively on defense,
and you're not going to out hustle U of H.
No, and that's why. And I know Charlie normally. He goes to Calvin every week, so I don't like to do that. But if we want to get Coach on, he already told me. We were texting before and after the game last night. And the one thing I gave him major props for was, it's one thing to have talent on a roster, but to get guys that want to play defense like that,
yeah.
that want to just put their butt on the line and dive on the floor and do the things that they're doing, dedicated to doing defensively, that's coaching. That's your entire coaching staff and getting the players to buy in. So props to him for getting them to do that kind of play, that style, and play it effectively.
No kidding, man, because I was watching that game thinking, you know what? These guys fly around the court. They don't stop. They don't quit. Even in that loss against UCF, there was no quit in this team.
You're right.
And they hustle. They're going to give, they give Coach Sampson every ounce of energy they have when they're on the floor, all five of them. And not just the starters, the bench, like, it's a fun watch. If you haven't, and I'm, look, I'll be the first time, I'm not a big college basketball fan. I'm not going to, I'll watch the tournament just because it's part of my job, but I don't watch a lot of regular season. This U of H team is a fun team to watch.
And I go back to the Arkansas days of Nolan Richardson and 40 minutes of hell. It's better than that, because as good as they play defensively, there is structure to their offense, and they, like you said, they can make the three ball.
Yeah.
And when they're making their threes, I don't care if you're the best team in the country, you are going to struggle with a team that's versatile enough to play every position defensively and then force you to play defense on whatever they want to play offensively. It's a good basketball team to watch.
And you know what's funny is we talk about how fun they are, and they're really good. They're a really, really good upper echelon rebounding team, and they're not a big team, because rebounding is all about effort and not necessarily about being the biggest guy on the court, but it's positioning, it's boxing out, and it's effort, and you get all that. They play smart, they're well coached, and they give you maximum effort, man. It's a fun watch. I'm happy for the university, and I'm happy for those guys.
No doubt about it. All right, we got two in the books. Still 1 hour to go with the big show. 60 minutes on the clock before we take you to the Blitz. They come on at 4. They'll take you till 7. You don't have to do a thing, because it's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.